It's a great, great pleasure to be here with you. And I wish to thank Father David for his invitation and for affording me this facility. I shared in the earlier service at 9, and now I'm back again at 11. For those of you who do not know me, I am Laish Boyd, and I'm the Bishop Coadjutor of the Diocese of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. And I'm here in your neck of the woods to share with Mary, as she was yesterday consecrated your bishop. She came from the Diocese of Southeast Florida, as you know, and my diocese and the Diocese of Southeast Florida have had a long-standing companion relationship, more than 20 years. So therefore, we have shared, and we came to meet Mary when she returned to the diocese, and I traveled to be here to show our continued support for her and to wish her well as she leaves our neck of the woods to come to your neck of the woods. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I want to bring you greetings from my wife, Joanne, and our family. We have 3 boys, 14, 12, and 7. And so that's the stage of my life that I'm at. It is really an honor to be here with you. I speak to you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read the following: "But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved in the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits of salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth." God chose you. All of us know what it is to make choices. And I'll tell you a story about choices. I'm sure you've heard of John Wilkes Booth. Every American should know him. He was the man who assassinated Abraham Lincoln in 1865. But have you heard of his brother, Edwin? Edwin was John's eldest brother. Edwin was an actor, and while waiting in a Jersey City train station one day, he saw someone slip and fall off the platform. He reached out quickly and grabbed the man by the collar and pulled him to safety, rescuing him from injury and possibly death. Who was the man that Edwin saved? He was a young Civil War soldier named Robert Lincoln. He was Abraham Lincoln's son. And so we have 2 Booth brothers. One saved a life. One took a life. One saved Robert Lincoln's life on a train platform in Jersey City. One, sometime later, took Abraham Lincoln's life. 2 people, the same parents, but they made different choices. God, we are told by St. Paul, chose us. In Romans chapter 5, we read, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So it was God's initiative, desire, and design that reached out to us in the salvation offered through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. God chose to do this. We didn't ask him to. We didn't strike the deal. We didn't work out the arrangements. God chose to do this. God chose the Thessalonians, says Paul, chose them for salvation. But he didn't force them. He offered them salvation through the embracing of the truth and through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. God chose us, but we must choose him in return for his choice to have full effect. Therefore, my friends, I ask you today to consider three simple things about choice. Our choice. If we are going to choose the God who first chose us. First of all, we've got to make good choices concerning the things of the world. The world is not a bad place. It's the environment in which we live. But as we live in the world of material and physical options, we have got to choose God when it comes to dealing with the world. The story is told about a young man who was approaching the age when he would get his driver's license. And he said to his dad, "You know, Dad, we got to have a little talk because I'm going to soon be of legal age and I need to get my driver's license." His father responded, "Well, if you want to get a driver's license, you've got to change your attitude, you've got to bring up your grades, you've got to spend more time with Bible study. Oh, and you got to cut your hair." So the fellow went off, took a few months, changed his attitude, brought up his grades, studied the Bible more, and he went to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm now ready." And his father said to him, "But you didn't cut your hair." And he said, "Well, Dad, you know, in Bible study, I found out that Moses and Abraham and the prophets and even Jesus had long hair. So I don't see why I should cut my hair." And his father said, "Well, all the people that you just named walked everywhere they went." And then his father added, "And you said you wanted what?" My friends, when it comes to the things of the world, we must not only make the right choices, but we must make the right choices for the right reasons, with the right justifications. So often, when it comes to the management of our physical and material and worldly lives, we make silly choices for the wrong reasons, from the wrong motivations, and with the wrong justifications. And then we wonder why it is that our spiritual lives cannot thrive. If you want to deepen your spiritual life in this rude and naughty world of ours, then seek to make the right choices when it comes to your material and worldly life. Make choices that will make space for God rather than shut him out. Make choices that will give you time for the things that are important, not choices which will quench your creativity. Make choices which will cause you to live closer to God, rather than making choices which gratify instantly, but which in the long term destroy who we are. In the making of choices in the things of this world, we must choose God. Secondly, if God chose us and we're going to choose God, then we need to make choices about our relationships. Every single one of us has people in our lives who are vital. people without whom our lives would be all the poorer. And you think about it. It may be a spouse, a significant other, a parent, a child, a sibling, a neighbor, a best friend, a co-worker. Every life has those individuals who mean the world to us. I should like to suggest that God has put those key people in your life for a reason. They're there as companions to know and love on the earthly pilgrimage. But even in the relationships which are not so close, God works and blesses us. Think about it. And we are called in our relationships to choose God by choosing things which build relationship, which deepen friendship, which engender trust and security. This is ever so important. I know I often drop my kids to school. And you know, some mornings they get out of the car and walk away, and I call them back. Sometimes they come back willingly, sometimes they're saying, "Oh, what does Daddy want now?" But I call them back just to say, "Now you know I love you. And no matter what, I will always be here for you." I try to say that, because that's true. And in our relationships, we must seek to do those things which build trust and security and confidence and peace. And that intangible thing which is called true relationship. So often the pace of the world in which we live and the nature of our lives destroy real relationship. So often selfishness and selfish motives and the to-do list that we have today all destroy real relationship. But if we are to choose God, we must choose Him through our relationships. And choose Him in our relationships. And build those relationships to their fullest potential. Because possessions will pass away. Job and position will pass away. Everything that you cherish could easily be taken away. But when you think about it, it's those relationships that really, really bless us and are most meaningful. God chose us, and we must choose God. Let us choose Him in our relationships and choose Him through our relationships and be strengthened to serve Him through our relationships. Finally, God chose us. We are called to choose Him not just in worldly things and in relationships, but we are called to choose Him in our hearts. The story is told about a teacher who took some students on the beach. They were having a whale of a time. And all of a sudden, the teacher grabbed two of the students and pushed their heads under the water and held them there. Can you imagine the panic and the horror of those two students? Can you imagine the absolute shock experienced by the rest of the students on the beach? After about 30 seconds, he let them go, and up they came, gasping for breath. When they had caught their breath, And when all of the students had calmed down, the teacher said, when you desire Jesus the way you desire oxygen, you will be on the right path. What a lesson. And my friends, as we choose God in our hearts, as we choose Jesus as our personal Savior and companion in our lives, He must be as important to us as the very air that we breathe. Can we say today that that is our choice? He chose us. We now choose Him. Is He as important as the air that we breathe? The story is told about a drunk walking along one day with a fifth of whiskey in his back pocket. Along the road, he stumbled and fell on his bottom, and after a few seconds, felt moisture. And he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, let that be blood. That was his earnest prayer. What is your earnest prayer? Is there a yearning in your soul for God? Is there a desire to walk with Jesus, even if you have to forsake the world and its values? What is your earnest prayer? Perhaps you may feel as if you cannot desire God fully because of what's going on in your life. Maybe you're in confusion. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you feel as if you've made a mess of your life. Maybe you feel that you are past salvaging. Maybe you feel as if God isn't really interested in you. Maybe for you to pray an earnest prayer for closeness to God, maybe that's far-fetched because you can't ever see yourself reaching where you need to be. Well, you know, I encourage you to take your lesson from that drunk about whom I just spoke. He had an earnest prayer. It was his sincere prayer based on where he was and what his priorities were. And so he could lift his hand to the sky and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let this moisture be blood and not whiskey. That was his earnest prayer. And so why can't your earnest prayer be far-fetched? If you desire God, a closer walk with Him, a life that is more in keeping with His desire, it's not far-fetched. Pray it, because it's your earnest prayer where you are. Pray that prayer. God chose us. God so loved the world, records John, that He gave His only begotten Son. And we must choose Him. Choose Him in the material things of life and in the worldly things. Choose Him in and through our relationships. Choose Him in our hearts. And is that not our business here today? For we have come apart from the world into a place that is holy and that has a specific purpose. And we have come to offer our worship, to commune with God, to hear His word, to participate in His sacraments, to feast on His heavenly food, so that we can go back out there and face the world again. We have chosen Him because He chose us, and we worship Him so that we might be inspired to go back out there and take up the fight. I pray that in this time of worship, you will be able to shed so many of the things that we have to carry around. And all of us are struggling with something. But I pray that during this time, you can shed those burdens for a few moments and commune with the living God, so that when we take up those burdens and go back out there, that God will be with us in His holy word, with us in His holy sacrament, and He can help us to continue to choose Him while we are in our everyday lives. God chose us. We must choose Him. And He will give us the equipment that we need in order to choose Him. He will strengthen us if we trust Him. And He will allow us to strengthen and encourage others on the journey. Paul says, we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved in the Lord, because God chose you for His salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.